So remember how I said I was excited that, like, oh, Shadowrun Returns is actually coming out, and I'm going to get my first Kickstarter game, and, yeah. And oh boy, turns out I didn't actually back it.
Well, how do you think you backed it?
I think I just assumed I did, but back then I was like, oh, I've already backed enough games, and so, like, I kind of bet on the wrong horse.
You were like, oh, by then I'm going to be playing so many of these games I kickstarted.
Yep.
Hello, and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for July 24th, 2013. This is Mike Minotti. I'm joined by my brother, Ashguy.
Hello.
How goes it?
Good.
So, what topics did you want to talk about today?
We're going to talk about some more Xbox 180-ish activities and the Steam sale aftermath.
Alrighty. So we'll talk about all that. And then we've been buying plenty of Steam sale games and some other things.
So we have a lot of games to talk about.
And the community's been talking about the Steam sale too.
We'll probably tie that into the first part.
So we'll talk about that, then we'll get to the releases, and that'll be the show. So let's. When you want to talk about Xbox first, then?
Sure, we'll get that out of the way.
It's just weird how they can't backtrack enough right now. For better.
Yeah, so the short story here, this comes from Game Informer, I believe. But,
yeah, it's from Game Informer.
So basically now Microsoft was very insistent on saying previously that it was going to follow the same model as the Xbox 360. You couldn't self-publish. You needed to have a publisher to put a game on the Xbox One. Whereas Sony's like, we have 12 indies on stage at the same time. Right. Look at how much we love indies.
Right.
Someone was kind of upset. Well, now they're saying that they are backtracking on that, that you'll be able to self-publish on the Xbox One, and that you will actually be able to somehow unlock a retail Xbox One to become a dev kit.
That's interesting.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. What I wonder is, how easy were these decisions to make? Like, what was the reasoning for not wanting... Why do you not want somebody
Microsoft
to self-publish?
Really likes their certification process.
Right. They really like having their bizarre level of control.
According to this, they hope they're still going to certify the games, but they hope to have a 14-day turnaround time.
No. Best laid plans of mice and men and all that.
Right.
So,
I mean, Apple kind of certifies stuff. Like when you submit an app to the App Store, you got to wait 2 weeks before.
Yeah,
it goes.
But Apple's in a very different position because Apple has a much bigger monopoly on. Well, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know as much about mobile gaming as I do about normal. But I mean, everybody must have their app on the App Store, right?
Yes.
Like, you have to have it on there. But whereas, you know, with what's coming up now, you know, you have people who are like, oh, for next game's not on the Xbox One right now. We're not that broken up about it because it'll be on PC. It'll be on PlayStation 4, whatever. I guess they realize that. You know, it became a point where they need the indies more than the indies needed them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they really took it for granted with the 360, where they were kind of like really early out there and like putting that stuff on there. And I think it became even more popular than they thought it would be. It's like they didn't really know what to do. But it's good to see them concede. It's just
a lot of people are saying it's a shame that Microsoft can't really lead on anything right now. They seem to be kind of following Sony around.
Well, no, that's the problem. Like, it's good that they're making all these things, but man, they are backtracking. So it's like their original vision was just so awful and just so wrong, and it's you wonder how much like the system you're gonna get is gonna conflict with like what they're trying to turn it into in the last second, you know?
Yeah, could this be like a half-baked mess at the
end?
Right,
because it's like well, this was supposed to be some sort of always online media center, and now they want it to kind of be
the Xbox 362.
Yeah, now they basically they want it to be the 362, and it's like, what is this thing going to be? That's my ultimate point, is I know what the PlayStation 4 is right now.
It's the next PlayStation.
It's the next PlayStation. I get it. I don't get the Xbox One. I don't understand what it is yet. I've seen a lot of videos of people, like, watching TV with voice commands, and I've seen some games that look cool and stuff, but I just don't quite get it. I don't get the direction. And that's one of the things, like, whenever you say media center, that I have no idea what the hell that means. The media, so because there's no such thing as only having one box for everything. You just can't do it.
Yeah, so I think that's the thing. Like, unless you really lock into an ecosystem, like, I mean, I have the iPhone, the iPad, the Apple TV, the MacBook,
right.
But I still can't do everything I'd want to do.
Right. No.
With all that.
No, exactly. It's like, because there's just so many different things, because, you know, there's some things just work on certain formats. But I mean, you know, if there was like a system that like, oh, it's your, it's surprise, it's your cable box, and it's you know, it plays every game and all this stuff, and it'd be like, yeah, that'd be fine. But well, it's not gonna happen.
It goes to the old saying, jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah, I guess
you're never gonna be able to do everything exactly the way everyone needs it.
So
now there was an interesting back and forth on Twitter I just read between Ben Kucher of the Penny Arcade Report and James Silva, who made Dishwasher Samurai, and I Made a Game with Zombies in it.
Oh, okay. Is he still a Microsoft guy, that guy?
Oh, yeah. He was kind of going to bat for them a little bit. Because, well, first of all, he was saying that it's not a backtrack. They always said, we haven't decided yet. But I'm pretty sure they flat out said, no self-publishing, just like 360. But he was trying to say that when you look at publishing in Windows Phone 8, I guess, it follows a system where, if you want to get something like Microsoft Certified Publish, there's that, but then there's also like the kind of more basic self-publishing. But it, if you self-publish yourself, you don't get to do achievements and friends lists and all that stuff. Now, what does that sound like?
It sounds like that weird indie thing that they had that no one liked.
Exactly. I hope it's not just going to be that.
Wasn't that where the zombie game was on?
That's like one of maybe three things that might have had any success from that.
Right. That I still don't get what that thing was. Yeah.
Was whole base because they had the XNA platform, which was like basically you could use a free PC app as your dev kit and then put a game to the Xbox. A lot of people like to blame Microsoft for not supporting that, but frankly, when you actually went in there and looked around, it was just filled with crap.
Oh, yeah.
Like there was nothing to promote. It was a lot of apps that were like, remotely vibrate your friend's controller. It's not a sex game.
Yeah.
And like things like burning Yule logs for Christmas. And
no, it was like, it really kind of almost was like, you know, the App Store experience, except it never did a very good job of highlighting what was good on there.
It's possible. I mean, there's a lot of shit in the App Store, but the good stuff does tend to bubble up to the top.
That never really happened with that for whatever reason. But
I just don't think there's enough good stuff.
Right. Oh, no. Well, here's my question now. Are people going to go back to Microsoft now? Is this a thing? Is it all forgiven?
It'll depend on ultimately all the details and everything.
Is Jonathan Blow going to say something and Phil Fish? Because like when I think of like indie people, I think Team 8, Phil Fish, and Jonathan Blow, all three of which were very vocal and disenfranchised with their experiences with Microsoft. Which is weird, because all three of which also released high-profile games on Xbox Live.
Yeah, frankly, again, I go back to this. I feel like we wouldn't know who the three of them were if it weren't for their games coming out on Xbox platforms to start.
Yeah, it's always a weird thing.
You know, all three of them are so mad, but it's like, I wouldn't even know who you were if Braid didn't come out in the summer of Arcade. You know? Like,
mm-hmm. No, right, exactly. But it seems like they don't... It's weird, because like, they established themselves there, but they don't really need them anymore. It's a whole thing. It's going to be interesting to see how... Well, here's my question. Is indie going to be even a bigger deal in the next generation? Is indie going to be as big a deal as it was? Or going to be... I don't think it's going to be less.
Well, I think...
But is it going to be more important than it is right now?
Well, the problem is you have this kind of... Like, what's indie anymore? Like, Double Fine considers themselves indie now because they don't have a publisher.
Yeah,
that's right. Like, really? Like, you're a giant studio with, you know, however many employees. Well,
and it's weird because it's cool because the indie scene is so much bigger now. But because it's so much bigger,
there's a lot more noise.
There's a lot more stuff that, and let's be honest, most indie games are good, not great.
Yeah.
Most indie games are like,
they have like a cool idea or like maybe a neat mechanic that's half baked.
And a lot of the time you can be like, well, I'm not going to pay $10 for this. I'll wait. And I really think they shoot themselves in the foot with these Humble Bundles. I'll wait for this Humble Bundle where I can get it for a cent.
Yeah.
Or the Steam sale where I can get it for, you know, a $2.50 or whatever. So, you know, it's like, dude, how are you going to get people excited about indie games again? I guess is kind of my big question. Whereas, you know, because plus, you know, when people get excited about games, usually it's like it's because it's by the guy they like. So maybe The Witness will have some excitement, but will it?
I don't know. To me,
they do this Mugenix, the next Team Meat game, have excitement.
To me, like, the line is starting to blur because, you know, the digital landscape kind of equalizes things like shelf space and stuff like that. Like, I think it's just going to be a good game is a good game.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I like to think that.
Yeah, well, like I said, I just, I just, I, really, I just wonder if people are going to go back to Microsoft. I mean, it still seems like PlayStation 4 has a slight edge on this stuff. And again, it's just because
they were there first, I think.
It's just maybe it was just a PR image, but I have that image of like those 12 guys or whatever on stage all playing their indie games. Kind of leaves an impact with you. But we'll see. All right. Want to talk about the Steam sale?
Yes. So, Steam sale's over. How'd you do?
Oh, I think I got 6 games.
I wrote my list. How many did I get? It's on the Google community thing.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
8.
You got 8?
Ooh, I win.
Ooh, yeah, you win. How much did you spend? Because I spent 40 bucks exactly.
$40, and I had the credit from when I sold that TF2 gun, so technically 55.
Right. You know, I might have gone 7, because at the last second, I had two 250-something left in my account, and Retro City Rampage was like 250. I was like, what the hell?
Oh, there you go. I have that in my Vita.
No, really?
It was free for PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, figures. I don't want to necessarily talk about the games I've been playing on it right now, but like, did you enjoy the sale this year?
I did feel like something something felt off about it, and well, then Zach Egolf in our community, he called it disappointing.
I don't want to call it disappointing. I mean, I kind of get that. Well, here's the thing. This is like, what, the third or fourth summer sale now?
Yeah.
Something like that. The problem is, a lot of these games now, we have seen on sale very cheap for a long time. So, like, you know, you see Mirror's Edge for $5, you see Just Cause 2 for, like, $2. That's not a big deal anymore, mm-hmm. You know? And it seems like a lot of the newer games, you know, they're on sale for, like, what, 40%, stuff like that.
They're still, like, over $30.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was nothing crazy, like what would be, like a recent release? I'm trying to think.
Like, it was not like Sleeping Dogs was $2 or something like that.
Even newer than that, though. Like, I feel like in years past, you might have been able to get something
Like Skyrim. Skyrim did not go on crazy sale.
No, yeah, like $36 for the... Which is kind of a good deal, but like... I feel like
Skyrim's came out in 2011 now.
Yeah, with all the DLC. But yeah, I feel like people were thinking they'd see, like, the vanilla Skyrim for $5, well, it was weird, you know?
Because, and, like, the company bundles weren't pushed as much as time. I think there was... No. Yeah, like,
they're
not...
They were there, but, yeah, they weren't pushed at all.
No, and the theming was a little less charming. Like, before they usually do the thing with, like, those mascot characters.
Well,
like,
it was all about the trading cards.
Yeah, I don't get the trading cards. I know. You like them. I know you like the trading... I don't get it. You play games... It's like, so when you make... explain to me. When you get achievements...
It's purely tied to playtime.
Oh.
And it doesn't take long. Basically, so if a game has, for example, 8 cards tied to it, you can get half of those, and they round up if it's an odd number, half of them randomly given to you for playtime. After that, you need to trade for the rest. But and I didn't even know Steam had this. There's a Steam market that's like an eBay for digital goods.
Mm-hmm.
You could put TF2 items and Dota 2 items, and you could put these trading cards in there. So if you don't have people just to directly trade cards with, then what you do is you can list your card for sale in the Steam market, and you'll get 15 cents.
Right.
But then other people are selling other cards for 15 cents. That's kind of an indirect way of trading.
Right. Wow.
So, and then if you complete the cards in a set, you craft that into a badge, and you get things with the badge. So you'll get like a background and a mode icon that associate with the game that you crafted. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll get another card as a drop, and then you'll get, sometimes you'll get, like, coupons and stuff. Yeah. Like, I actually just got a 66% off coupon for Awesome Knots.
I mean, cool. I guess, I like that there actually is, like, an end game to it, as opposed to just achievements. It's kind of complicated.
Well, here's the thing. You can keep crafting the same badge over and over to level up that badge.
Why?
Because every time you craft a badge, you get 100 experience to go to your Steam profile.
Okay, see, now this is getting so meta.
Now, as you level up your Steam profile, get, like, a bigger friends list.
Really?
Yeah, let's see, what else? You increase your chance of getting booster pack drops. Now, I've never gotten a booster pack, so I don't quite get these. Supposedly, the way it theoretically works is, as people are crafting badges, it increases the chances of everyone getting a booster pack.
Okay.
And if the higher your level is, the better your chances of getting one. And it has 3 random cards. Then there's foil cards. And you have to craft all foil cards to get a foil badge.
Of course.
And the foil card's worth like 4 or 5 times as much in the market.
Oh, man, it's like a dollar.
Like, I sold one for $1.50.
Ooh, ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mean, like, it's kind of neat. I guess it's, like, a reason to get people to, like, it's, like, more of an incentive to get the Steam version of a PC game.
It kind of became a fun meta game for me. Like, you're really playing markets and stuff. It's
right,
kind of cool.
It's interesting. But it doesn't work, like, so, to get all the Skyrim cards, I have to start playing Skyrim now. It's not going to be like, you played 40 hours of Skyrim, here's your card.
Yeah, that you do have to start at the beginning for everything, which kind of is a bummer.
I mean,
You get 4 of the cards, and then if you wanted the other 4, or, I mean, you might, it's possible, you get all 4
of
the same
card. I guess it's not, there's nothing wrong with it. That's the weird thing, though, it's like, how many people are going to support this? Is there a large support for it right now?
Seems like it.
That's nice. So back to like the Steam sale in general. Wasn't there some conspiracy theory about some announcement coming on the 22nd?
Was that a joke? Completely fizzled, I guess.
It's like the 10th, like halfway through rumor this year.
Yeah, and like in 9 of the 10 background things that unlock with the cards, there was like a symbol, and if you overlaid all the symbols, it made a shape, and
I think there were a lot of threes everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, that symbol thing was kind of compelling. I mean, that did work. I don't know.
They gotta be working on something, because Dota 2 is out.
Yeah, they're actively making a game right now.
Right. They better be making a game right now.
Yeah. But I don't know.
I actually had a bigger haul this year than I had for a while.
I bought a lot of indie games this year.
I did. Well, do you want to start talking about some of the games we played?
Yeah, so...
Because the one I really like a lot is Rogue Legacy. Rogue Legacy is cool.
Now, Rogue Legacy, I threw it in my wish list waiting to see if it would go on sale. Because it was at, like, 20%. Like, you know, because, like, every game is, like, kind of on a flat sale.
Yeah, it never really went on super sale.
Well, and I found out, the dev commented on it. He, I wish I'd read it sooner. I would have gotten the game sooner. But he said, like, look, it's not going to be a flash sale. I was weary of even making it a general sale because he didn't want to piss off early adopters because the game came out like a week or two ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But he decided to just do that, and no one seemed to really hold it against him. Mm. But yeah, so the game, it's...
Before we get back to that, I think I can almost do without the flash sales and the... Because it's like, it's always repeats, you know?
Yeah, but you know what it is? It's a way to get you to look at that store every 8 hours.
There was one game that like was up for a vote. It was like the expansion for Star Trek Online. I was hoping it would actually just be a deal one day, because I thought that would have been fun, but that just never happened.
Yeah.
But like, the flash sales and the vote sales, there's somebody like listed, there's some games that are on sale for like 4 times throughout the entire week, and it's like, okay. But yeah, so Rogue Legacy, it's basically like Castlevania, more like the Symphony of the Night kind of style, where it's like you're exploring, like the Metroidvania kind of thing. You have like a basic attack and whatever.
No magic.
Right, but like the cool thing is that it's a roguelike in the way that when you die, you essentially start over again. But what happens is you keep your money and like your descendant goes on, and you're constantly buying, like the money is progression. Like the money is all progression. You're buying new class possibilities, stat upgrades, new equipment, new runes that give you skills like double jumping and gliding and stuff like that. So it's like you're in, and the castle gets randomized every time unless you like want to kind of
lock it down,
which costs a percentage of the money you earn through it. So it's like this neat thing. It's like that you're constantly just exploring this castle, and you know you're not gonna like beat it, but it's like every time you're making a bit more progress. And if you like. Like, I love, like, that sort of feeling, like, yeah, I'm getting closer, closer.
Well, and what's really smart, too, is every time you re-enter the castle, the Grim Reaper takes all the money you have. So you have to spend what you have.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're, like, you're sitting there trying to be like, exactly. Well, do I, like, okay, so if I have 600 gold, do I want to get, like, this one really cool thing for 450, or do I want to get these two things for 300? Or, like, what am I trying to do? And it's really smartly designed in that sense.
Right, the cool thing too is like each person you pick, like the descendant, you know, you'll get to pick from 3, and there's different classes. Like some will be like some
an archmage, and some will be
But they also have like weird quirks. Like some of them will be nearsighted, you know. Some of them will be colorblind.
Some have vertigo, and the whole screen's upside down. Which
some of them
are
like just like
you.
Some. There's like still like one's like, oh, he exaggerates. So when you get hit, it's like even though it's like 5 damage you took, it'll say like 2,556 damage. Just ridiculous, you know. It's kind of funny. It's just charming, you know. It's just, and it's like you'll find that boss and you'll like fight him 5 times and lose, and then finally when you like do beat him, you got your stats high enough for it. It's cool. It's very addicting because you're always like, just one more time into the castle.
Well, the game does not make it easy to stop.
No, it doesn't.
I've noticed that. It seems to be a very intentional design decision. Mm-hmm. To exit the game, it takes you to the title screen every time you die. But it's just push A to pick your heir. Like, you have to, like, hit Y to go into the menu and then navigate through the menu and select quit game to even stop playing it. And I mean, beyond all that, I mean, it just the pure gameplay of it is really
it's
good.
Very solid.
Very solid mechanics.
Yeah, it just has, yeah, exactly. Just, you know, it is like that very kind of simple thing. What's cool too, like, some of the rooms you'll find randomly, they're like little challenge rooms where it's like, there's like a chest, and it's like, oh, you can't get this chest unless you don't take any damage in the room. So you have to do like this
kill
kind of
every enemy.
And you have to like do this like hardcore platforming, and like the runes you have can help a lot. Cause like,
the only way you get runes are the fairy chest.
Yeah. It's just kind of, surprisingly really fun. I like it a lot. Besides that, did I talk about Dust last time?
No.
Not really. I got Dust in Elysian Tale, which is another Metroidvania kind of game. And it's cool. It has like these really well animated kind of 2D artwork. It looks really good from far away, but then like closer up, and the portrait view, it looks kind of like not great drawn furry art. And it is like it's all furry.
Oh yeah.
And it's like you have like the psychic character who is like the epitome of the annoying furry psychic character. I'm like, oh my god, it's like a little bit like, you know, I don't want to judge things people like, but it's like this is it's a little weird. But it's like the combat system is pretty cool.
Yeah, I played the trial for this in Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah,
so.
It's like one of the things you can do is like you can make your little furry psychic like shoot these little like energy posts that don't do much, but if you do like this whirlwind attack, you send them flying all over the screen.
That's cool.
And it's very combo based, like you get big combos, you get much bigger XP. So it's kinda neat. I got Mirror's Edge because I just wanted to play it again. And I have, like, the Xbox One, but I wanted to see what it looked like on PC. It still looks really
good. Oh, yeah.
I like that game a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I just think that's a fun game.
I got and beat, so I beat a game. Oh. Gunpoint.
Oh, wow, you actually beat a game. I did not get Gunpoint. It was one of the ones I didn't get.
Gunpoint is fantastic. It had one of the most compelling gaming stories.
Oh, really? I didn't realize
the story's phenomenal. I was dying to know what was going to happen next.
Oh.
And it branches in really cool ways, too.
See, the reason I didn't get it, because I was watching the trailer, and I was a little intimidated by this, like, the system where you connect.
No, that's the best
part.
That's,
like, the thing I didn't understand.
You think that, like, yeah, you look at that trailer, like, oh my god, what is going on? But, like, especially as you start to level up, and you gain, like abilities to, like, wire into, like, guards' guns, and, like, so you can literally, like, attach a light switch to a guard's gun, flip the switch, and his gun will shoot and, like, kill the guard in the room with him.
Right.
Stuff like that. When you start pulling off the more complicated missions, you feel like a badass. It's so fun to go in there and, like, create this, like, Rube Goldberg of all this stuff that's gonna happen, and then just execute it. And, so it's got, like, this awesome, like, jazzy noir soundtrack. It's this, you know, kind of 8-bit pixel art, but it's perfectly conveys, like, all the, like, kind of mood of, like, a film noir. And like I said, the writing in this game is, it's excellent. It's so funny, because between every mission, you do, like, a text message conversation with your next client, and you'll always get, like, choices of what to respond with. But it'll do, like, this kind of goofy meta stuff where, like, so you have an option to say, like you're looking for security footage, and you're like, yep, there was nothing there, and it says in parentheses, lie. So you click that, and that's what appears, and the guy will say, like, I know you're lying. And you're like, how can you tell? Because you wrote lie in parentheses. Right.
That's kind of
goofy stuff like that. It's really, really good.
See, I didn't get that. I got Mark of the Ninja, finally.
That's
though.
A great game.
That is a fun game. It's weird, though, because it's one of those games where it's like, there's cutscenes, and it's like, it's not a lot of story, but it's still more story than I want.
Yeah.
It's like a very simple, like, you're a ninja.
And save our honor.
Yeah, I'm like, I get it. Just let me kill things. But no, it is another game that looks like it has really cool 2D art and all that.
That's another game, too. Like, when you pull off everything perfectly, you feel awesome.
Yeah, exactly. It's fun.
I got the Swapper.
Yeah, you were kind of high on this.
Oh, my God. It's got that same kind of aha feeling that you get from playing Portal. Like,
oh,
when
right,
you figure
yeah.
something out, you feels fantastic, but it's so creepy. Like, so the whole idea of the game is you have this gun that at first it just lets you create clones. So then you move yourself and the clones move exactly with you. So you're trying to get them to hit switches and stuff. Then you get a secondary fire where you can beam your consciousness into another clone. So that becomes the one you're controlling. And then just like Portal, there's like these little light beams. If you walk through it, all the clones get erased.
Right.
If there's blue light, you can't create a clone inside the blue light. if there's red light, you can't shoot the consciousness gun through it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's purple, it's like the two combined. So at the beginning of the game, I'm thinking to myself, I wonder how long I can like keep track of like which one's my original body. 5 minutes in, that's gone.
Right. Ooh.
Then you start getting like when it you messes think, with you a little when bit. You think too much about it, it starts screwing with you. You're like what is consciousness now? Like what are these other do the other clones feel anything? Like you have to kind of like fly in the game. And by fly, I mean
like just,
you just create a clone as high above you as you can.
That's nice.
Materialize it, zap into it, and just keep laddering up. And then there's just this pile of corpses below you.
That's kind of interesting.
And it's also nice, too, when you're holding down the right mouse button for the clone gun, it goes in like a bullet time. So mm-hmm. you can like aim your conscious gun. Then, like, everyone keeps saying it, but it's true. A Metroid game needs to be made with this engine.
Oh, yeah?
It's so, like, it's such a pretty game, and it's so atmospheric and so creepy. Also has the best zero gravity sequence I've ever played in a game.
Really?
Because you know, like everyone's like, "Oh, Dead Space
really gets zero G." Yeah, Dead Space had those.
When you get in zero G in this, it's the screen's kind of like randomly rotating, so you never really know which way is up. And you, by shooting your consciousness gun, you kind of propel yourself.
Mm.
It works so well. I was like, "This is freaking great." That's a really good game.
Cool. I think that's
One of the ones that I played.
I mean, I got Dark Souls because it was super cheap, Prepare to Die edition, but I haven't really played that yet.
Yeah, I was tempted to get it. I'm gonna still play. I played the demo for Gunslinger, Call of Juarez. I'm gonna start that up. I got Dishonored the last day, probably because it was 7 in the morning.
You didn't play
much
of that yet, did you?
Yeah, that's why I got it. And I got the Knife of Dunwall DLC with it, which is supposed to be good.
If we're done with that, I can talk about Shin Megami Tensei 4.
Okay.
Because I got Shin Megami Tensei 4.
You did?
Right. Well, because I like Persona. I basically spent, like, the last, like...
All of 2013, yeah, pretty basically, much.
Well, really more like, yeah, like, the last almost year just, like, playing the Persona games. Because when I got my Vita, like, I got Persona 3 Portable on it, which was the PSP port of that one. I just played that, and then I just got Persona 4 Golden. So I've been playing a lot of Persona. I was like, you know, I really want to play more of it, and they're not going to make a new Persona anytime too soon, but Shin Megami Tensei 4 is coming on. That's, like, kind of, like...
Kinda Persona?
Well, it's, like, the main series, and Persona's kind of a spinoff. It's all complicated. So, I got this. It's interesting, because it's more different from Persona than even I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Well, there's some things, like, I knew. It is... The story is much less emphasized, whereas in Persona, like, maybe 4 hours into it, you're in your first battle. Like, you know, you're dungeon exploring pretty quickly here. Characters are introduced very quickly, and like the setting is it's just not as emphasized. It's much more about the dungeon crawling, the kind of like the demon recruiting thing, which was I guess always in all these other Shin Megami games until mm-hmm. Persona 3, where like the way you have party members is you literally talk to the enemies you fight, and you like have to kind of negotiate with them, which is kind of cool. It's kind of random though, because they're demons. You don't really know what to do to get him to join you. Like, they'll ask you, like, vague questions, like, are you a god, you know, and you can say certain things.
Ray, yeah. If someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes. Right.
And, you know, sometimes, like, you're basically just kind of guessing. A lot of times, like, trial and error, like, okay, about the fourth time I do this, then maybe he'll agree with me and not attack me or leave. But, you know, sometimes you have to, like, give them items or money or some of your health, and they'll eventually join you. And then just, like, with Persona, there's, like, the whole thing where you're fusing them to get stronger ones. So it's sort of Pokemon-ish, but not quite.
So I have to admit, I've seen like no media on this game at all. Like, does it look good?
Well,
like,
it's weird because it's when you're running around the dungeons. Like, the games for a long time had been like in first person stuff like that. It's not like that. It is like you're running around the dungeon, and it is kind of it's like Persona game where you'll see the enemies. If you attack them first, you get like a slight initiative mm-hmm. in the battle and stuff. But when you get into the battle, it's much more low tech. It's like that first person kind of
like wizardry and all that stuff.
Like, yeah, like, well, it's like Earthbound or like
the Fantasy Star.
Like Fantasy Star, the original Dragon Quests until like I think like 7 is up. Yeah. So it's like, you know, and it's not a 3D model, it's just like the 2D pixel art, and there's like 3 frames of animation of the monster, and he's just kinda standing there, and when you do and it's like just your portrait on the bottom, you know. So that's a little low tech. But I mean, you know, the charm is it's largely just in the battle system itself, which is a bit like Persona's in that every enemy has a weakness, and if you exploit the weakness, you get to attack again.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's like kind of like the big deal, where it's like
trying to learn all the weaknesses.
Right, because if you do not want them to attack you very often, because they're a lot stronger than like a normal random encounter in some JRPG. Mm-hmm.
Now, you got like this fancy box and everything. That was $50, right?
Yeah.
Because even the digital version is $50.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think it was just something like you got it from Amazon. Like I got like this little book and like this little CD thing.
So it's not all like that?
Right. But I mean, no, I don't think it's all. I don't think it's worth the $50
for a 3DS game. I mean, that's.
Well,
that's
you know, it's a big old JRPG.
Maybe that's why they're doing that $30 with Fire Emblem thing to kind of soften the blow.
I had to do that. But I mean, it's cool. I mean, it's definitely fun.
Maybe I should have gotten that today.
Fire Emblem?
No, Shin Megami. Instead of the $50 Steam card for Saints Row 4.
No, I don't think you would like Shin Megami.
No? Oh, you don't think I would? Just straight up.
No, I like it. But I said, like, my like for it is basically all about I like the mechanics of it. Stuff. Mm-hmm. If you like JRPGs because of, like, the atmospheric stuff, like, even music or just kind of, like, the story and, like, the charm of it, it's not a whole lot of charm yet, I would say.
Well, you know, I mean, it's kind of funny. That's usually what I don't like about JRPGs.
Oh, really?
I don't
know. Maybe.
I like the combat.
Right. It's like I definitely like it, but I can definitely see it's. And, you know, I guess the word is hardcore. Oh,
are there multiple saves?
Yeah, well, there's two.
I wouldn't mind trying it.
Yeah, no, try it because, like I said, you can play an hour of it and kind of get it. I just got to a point like 10 hours. I'm 10 hours into it, and like things have kind of opened up more.
Mm-hmm.
Like I kind of got to, like this like interesting reveal, a twist, if you would. But yeah, it's certainly if you're looking for Persona, it's not Persona.
Right. I figured as much.
Yeah, it's not. It's definitely more. I guess I've never played in the other ones either. I assume that these are
it's like the other three.
Right. But no, it's definitely very. I don't want to say competent, but that sounds like that doesn't sound like glowing praise. But no, it's fun.
It's solid.
I mean, it's well. That's not, again because it is really good. I'm enjoying it, but it's not like you know. Am I gonna make fan art for Shin Megami Tensei 4 by the time I'm done with it? Like a different like persona? Probably not.
Wouldn't that just be drawing a lot of penis monsters?
One penis monster.
Everyone talks about the penis monster.
I mean, well, in their defense, it is a blatant penis monster. So I can see why. I mean, you know, they asked for it and all that. But, you know, again, it's kind of like the same reason why I like Roguelite. I just love that constant progression, you know? It's like, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. This thing, now I'm a little stronger because I did this. And there's so many different things you can do, you know? Just, you know, you get a little XP if you fuse monsters, if you get a monster to join your side, and just, you know, all that jazz. There's a Street Pass thing, too, which I don't think I'll ever get to
know, if we go to PAX or something someday, you never know.
Somebody's playing Shin Megami Tensei 4, I don't know. Like, I mean, again, it's like, do I like this as much as Fire Emblem? No. But it's good.
Cool.
I'm in to get, there's one of these, like, Level 5 keeps making these 3DS eShop games, and the one that I've been hearing a lot of good things about just came out. It's called, like, the Monsters Attack on Friday or something like that. I want to get it, but it's supposed to be this cute little game.
Well, you should be getting your $30 in credit. Did what? You register your Club Nintendo account yet?
No, I'm going to
You should do that.
Again. All right.
Towerfall.
Oh, right. We haven't talked about this yet?
We talked about it a little bit after playing just the trial at Chris's.
This is like the big Oi game. It's coming out on PC now, I guess.
Basically, right now, Towerfall is a $115 game.
Yeah, because
that's the reason you buy an Ouya.
Yeah. You know what it reminds me of even more in Smash? It's almost like Bomberman.
In a weird way, you're right. That's very true. So, our brother Chris actually plunked down the $15 for it because he was a little tipsy, and I convinced him to do it. And, I talked about the base mechanic, the jumping on heads, the shooting arrows. When you pay the $15, not only do you get, like, all the stages and stuff, but it lets you go in and tweak all the variables. So you can do goofy things like big heads or everybody has bomb arrows and stuff like that. So we both played with three people, never with the two of us.
Right.
We both missed each other that night. But man, was I having a blast playing it.
It's just very simple mechanic. Like, you know, you have the arrows, you have to shoot their prism, but it's just fun.
It's
very
really
tech.
Fun.
It's just really, it's like a very simple, clean design.
And then, like, the options you have tweaking the variables
it's
are
like
really
Bomberman.
Great.
That's what reminds me of Bomberman.
Yeah,
like,
you're
all these
right.
Little
I didn't
things
think
you
of that.
Do. It's so Bomberman.
The game mode I came up with that I thought was really fun was we turned off all the lights, made everybody invisible, turned off friendly fire, so this wouldn't be too crazy, and then gave everybody one shield, so you had two lives, and laser arrows that just ricochet off the walls. So it's just like this madness
like
of
all these
arrows everywhere. It's so fun. Yeah. I mean, the guy says it's going to come to PC. He said it'll take a couple months. That's fine. I'll wait. Because like I said, pretty much right now, Chris calls his Ouya his Towerfall box.
Right. It's like
and also,
about.
You need to attach PS3 controller to that thing. Trying to use the Ouya controller, that thing's bad. It's just bad.
It's not like the design of it's fine. It's just doesn't work a lot of times.
Well, did you read, like, Polygon published their Ouya review today? No. They said, like, theirs, like, they were just normal use, like, the triggers were getting stuck.
Really?
And all kinds of bad stuff. Plus, you know how you change the batteries on that?
No.
You have to unscrew the back plate. God. Yeah. It's just...
Interesting.
And it's $50. Like, if you were going to go buy an Ouya controller for $50, like, a second one, just get a DualShock.
Yeah.
But, like, unless some amazing game comes out that uses the touchpad on it, there's really no reason. And hell,
that's right, it does have
with a PS4 controller, that touchpad might work.
Honestly.
So, yeah, the last thing we'll say real quick, I got Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition, which I'd never really played.
Yeah, it's still Street Fighter. Fun. I'm looking forward to Ultra Street Fighter 4.
Yeah.
All right. Are you ready for releases, then?
Yes.
Although there was one, somebody made a comment on the community.
Oh, also. What else?
Well, someone was just, it was Zach Eagle. I was a little surprised that I was kind of so poo-poo on the Firefall graphics because he assumed I kind of like colorful things. Right. I mean, I like colorful things, but I don't know. Sometimes
I still think you need to try this game. You need to give it a chance.
The neon-y thing. No, I haven't given it a chance. You're right, but I don't know.
We'll play it together. It'll be super fun. Because that's the thing. I tried to start leveling up an engineer character.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to solo as an engineer, the engineer's only weapon is like a... It's like the Demo Man's grenade launcher, the one you shoot him and then detonate them. And when you start off, you don't have any of your abilities, so that when that's your only weapon, it's really freaking hard. Eventually, I'll get a turret.
Yeah. I don't know. It's been a very RPG kind of 2013 for me, not a very big shooter one.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so Shadowrun Returns is out on
PC. I will not be playing, apparently.
I like this Hotshots Golf World Invitational for PlayStation 3. I like the description on GameSpot. This is another installment in the Shot Golf. I was like, you know, I always feel like, I bet I would like Hotshot Golf. I mean, it's basically plays like the Mario Golf game.
Yeah, without the RPG stuff or the characters.
Well, really, the only one that had the RPG stuff was the Game Boy Advance.
I know.
One.
I love that game.
Serious Sam question. Yeah. Advantage Math.
What?
And the Smurfs 2 game.
Oh, boy.
Okay. I
bet the Naughties are in it.
All right, I bet they are. All right, that's that. All right.
All right, go play your Steam games, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Give me all your cards. If you don't care about the cards, send them to me. I'll take them.
I will take them, too. Thanks for listening to the Explain Bro podcast. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. Also, go to our Twitter page and our Facebook page and our Google Plus community. And don't forget to go to the iTunes Media Store and leave us a review.
Yeah, we don't have any 2013 reviews yet.
No, that makes me sad. Oh, you're fine. I mean, do it so he doesn't cry.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody.
No one wants to hear me cry.
And, no, you don't.
Bye.
Bye.